We just thank you once again for joining in. And so here this night, I don't want to take any more time, but we have a special guest speaker, and he's all the way, well, right now he's in Watsonville, but I believe originally from Salinas, California, and he's a graduate from the Victory Homes. Amen. The men's home. Praise the Lord. So he's a product of our men's home, and he's very close to our pastor. I want to say he came when our pastor was there as a director. He was right next to him during that time. But he's been saved for 16 years. He's been married for 15 years. Amen. How many know that's a blessing? Praise the Lord. He has five beautiful children. And right now, he's overseeing the Victory Center right there in Watsonville. And he's helping pioneer the work that is going on with that church right there in Watsonville, California. So as you're watching, and those that are here, why don't we put our hands together as I welcome up Brother Jeremy as he comes up and shares here this beautiful Friday night.
Amen. Hallelujah. First of all, I just want to bring greetings, amen, from Victory Outreach Salinas, amen, with Pastor Henry Campa, amen. And I also want to bring greetings or give a shout out, amen, to Victory Center Watsonville. And it's a blessing to be able to go out, amen, to answer the call of God upon your life. That's what it's all about, answering the call of God. So I just want to, I'm just a grateful man here this evening. And I also want to thank Pastor Charlie, amen, a real, real good friend of mine. And I've known him for many years in the family. And I just want to thank the leadership, amen, for, you know, just allowing me to be up here behind this pulpit, amen. I don't take it lightly. It's a great honor. Amen. So I want to get into it. My topic we have here is moving forward. Answer the call, created for more. It's kind of like a couple little words, but moving forward, answer the call, created for more. And I'm going to start in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. If you don't know, that's our second promise verse given to the ministry of Victory Outreach International. And you say, why didn't you read the first one, the first verse, promise scriptures first? I don't know. I just put this one first. So that's just the way it is. Amen. So if you just turn to your Bibles there in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. Amen. I'm going to read right here out of the New King James Version. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. And strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Father, once again this evening. And I pray, Father, for a special anointing, God, over this service. Let the heavens be open, Lord, and that you begin to pour out your presence and your spirit, Father, right here in this place, in the sanctuary, Lord, but also there in those that are watching and listening in their households, God, that your presence and your power be poured out upon their lives. I pray that every heart be open, God, every mind would be able to receive and conceive of the word of God, Lord, that they would be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church this evening, Father. I pray that you would encourage and that you would stir up lives, Father, tonight, and we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. We all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So right here, like I said, the title is Moving Forward, Answer the Call, Created for More. Amen. And we talked about the first verse, amen, the first promise given to Victory Outreach International. And I also want to say that it's a time to grow and it's a time to expand. That's what this opening verse is talking about. It's talking about growing and expanding. It's talking about enlarging, amen, lengthening your cords, amen. Do not hold back, right? But strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Amen. It's time to answer that call. That's a promise given to us. If you're here, if you're listening, amen, I believe that God has predestined you to be here at this particular moment to hear this message, and that God is calling you and handpicking you for this very moment and season that we're living in here in this very day. But God is calling you, and he has a calling upon your life. Amen. We are Victory Outreach International. See, if you're here or you're listening, I believe that you're being called or drawn or placed in this ministry for a particular reason or purpose. Amen. See, God has called us to be part of a powerful movement. It's not only a ministry, but we are called a movement of God. It's not a man thing. It's not a natural thing, but it's a supernatural thing. See, when I opened up, I didn't just use my own words, but I used a promise verse, a promise scripture that was given to our founder, Pastor Sonny Argonzoni, amen, over 50 years ago. Amen. And God began to give him promises. It started in East LA. Amen. And it began to go up north in California. And it began to go throughout the states of the United States. Amen. And now we're all over the globe. And we're an international movement because we're part of a powerful movement of God. If you're here and you're watching or you're listening, I want to let you know that you're part of something great. Come on, somebody. This promise is for you. And it's for me. And it's for our descendants. The descendants are our children. It's not only for your children, but it's for your children's children. Come on, somebody. You got to get excited about that tonight, man. Because there's a promise of God. And the promise is from God, amen. And the devil can't touch that promise. Come on, somebody. And he says that promise is for your children and for your children's children. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. Man, I just got to put it on blast. My son's here in the men's home. Amen. And he's being homegrown. He's being raised up in the right way. Come on, somebody. God is a God of promises. He's a God that is faithful to his promises from the beginning to the end. Come on, somebody. Our ministry has been built on the power of the promises of God. See, tonight, if you notice, I'm using the word promise a lot. See, because I believe that each and one of you have been given a promise from God. You might not know it or understand it or conceive it or fathom it, but I'm here to let you know that there was a promise for you and for me. The promise of God is yes and amen. Tell your neighbor, you are a fulfillment of a promise. See, you're a fulfillment of a promise. See, I opened up with the promise verse. And it was a verse that's given to our ministry. But see, that verse and those promises are being fulfilled right now in your life and in my life. Amen? See, we are a ministry that is actively reaching lost and hurting people through our communities. Throughout the globe, we are a ministry that is constantly and actively reaching lost souls and hurting people. Amen. Because God has given us a promise. See, in that promise, see, in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, which is our first promise given to our ministry, it says, I will go before you. Come on. I love it. I will go before you, and I will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Amen. See, this promise is being fulfilled within your life and within my life. It's being fulfilled. He says, I will go before you and I will level the mountains. See, many of you, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking about myself, but there has been bars of iron that have been broken in my life. There have been some chains and some devices of the enemy that have been broken off of my life. Amen. Some of us were behind bars. Some of you were in prison. Some of you were bound by this or that. Some of you were bound by addiction, or maybe you're just a housewife that was depressed. But I'm here to let you know that we are all treasures out of darkness. Come on, somebody. God has broken the chains and the hold of the enemy. There is nothing that can hold you or separate you from the love of God. See, we are treasures out of darkness. Riches stored in secret places. This is a beautiful, beautiful verse. So that you may know that I am the Lord. See, he says, I have set you free and I have placed you on a solid foundation, on a solid rock, on the word of God, on the promises of God. I have filled you and enabled you through my power, Jesus says, through my power, through my strength. Hallelujah. So that you may know that I am the Lord who has summoned you by name. See, God has called you by name. He has handpicked you. He has selected you for a reason and for a purpose. Can I get an amen? Amen. In 1 Peter 2:9 it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of what? Out of darkness and into his marvelous light. See, he called us, you know what? You're a chosen generation. Not only that you're a chosen generation, but that you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Come on, somebody, you're royalty. Your royalty. Tell your neighbor, your royalty. You are a chosen generation. Man, you're a holy nation. See, back in the days, we said, what? You're holy. Yeah, you're like a holy roller now, right? You got that holiness going on. You never thought that you would be a holy roller, but you are. Some of you are becoming holy rollers. Come on, somebody. But we're a holy nation. His own special people. Right, my pastor used to always say, he'd always like to quote, you know what, you are the apple of God's eye. The apple of God's eye means that you are so special to God. You are so special, you have a special place with God. I want to let you know right now that God's love is perfect. He cannot love you more and he cannot love you less. Why? Because God is a perfect God and he cannot change. He's an unchangeable God. His love is so perfect. His plan is a plan A with God. There's no plan B with God. It's always plan A with God. And what we got to do is we got to line up with that plan. We got to line up with that purpose that's unchanging. That plan and that purpose that's so perfect. It's divine and it's called, amen, by God. God has called you and handpicked you. If you are here, it's because God has called you. I'm saying that a lot, right? God has called you. Because I think you need to hear that. I think we need to understand that and get that in our spirit. Because sometimes when things get a little rough and weary, you lose sight of what God has called you out of. You lose sight of that beautiful day when you said, Jesus Christ, come into my life. And when God took you from being from the old into the new. And when things get a little rough and hard, sometimes it gets a little blurry. The vision gets a little blurry. The promises, sometimes it's hard to understand them because you thought that it was going to be all rosy-posy. But now it's getting a little rough. The storm's blowing and coming. Amen. Last night there were some storms here in Milwaukee. I know it wasn't that big of a storm, but there was some lightning. You don't really see that stuff in California. Amen. But see, the wind began to blow, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, right? It was warm, sunny day. I was out there in the city of Milwaukee, and then by night, it was raining. Amen. Like Pastor Charlie says, like cats and dogs, it was raining. Amen. But that's how life is. All of a sudden, things could shift and change. But see, but if you're planted in the Word of God, and if you're steadfast and hold to the promise of God, you will be able to stay the course. You will be able to stay fixed and focused on the cross. You'll be able to hold and grab a hold of the Word of God and not turn back and place your hands upon the plow, amen, and not turn back. Today I want you to discover that you have a calling upon your life. I came into the ministry when I was only 18 years old. It was a process. But I went into the home the first time. I went three times, but the first time I was only 18 years old. And I began to discover that I had a calling upon my life. See, before you come to Christ, or maybe I'm just speaking about myself, but I didn't have any direction. Any road would take me there. I was just wandering around the city of Watsonville and doing what I was doing, smoking, drinking, whatever. I was just, you know, lost. But I didn't know I had a purpose or a calling. They don't teach you that in the streets. No. My father left at a young age, and see, I didn't get that instruction. I missed that lesson about you have a purpose, son, and you have a calling upon your life. I didn't get that. But the day that I went into the men's home, come on, men's home, God began to do something, amen, in my life. I can remember being in prayer in the men's home. And I remember being in prayer and there in the atmosphere, and God began to give me a promise. Come on, somebody. He began to give me a vision, and he began to show me preaching amongst people. God began to show me that I was going to preach one day. And I said, what? Like, what was that? It was because when you come in the presence of God. See, that promise was there. God already knew he had a plan for your life and my life. But you need to get into the presence of the Lord. And you need to tap into the Word of God, into that river that's endless. And it has everything, and an abundance is there. See, today I want you to discover that you have a purpose and a calling. And that there's a promise for your life. And that promise comes from God. Every person has a promise from God, but you gotta seek that promise. But when I was in the men's home, like I said, it all started there. In the men's home, I learned how to pray. In the men's home, I learned how to read my word, my Bible. And in the men's home, I learned how to flow and be obedient to leadership. Come on now. I lost some of you on that one. I learned how to be obedient and follow along with my leadership. See? God began to give me a promise and show me that I had a calling upon my life. And I thank God, and I'm grateful. I'm a grateful man today for the men's home. I thank Victory Outreach for the men's home and being there and being able to have a place that I could go in and allow God to transform my life from just a no good drug addict, from a lost young man to becoming a man that's able to stand here and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. This was one of my things that I said one day I could preach right here in Pastor Charlie's church, and here I am. Come on, somebody. Woo! Man, Pastor Herb said one day you'll take a city. See, but it takes, you got to grab a hold of that promise. Somebody maybe prophesied over your life. Maybe somebody spoke over your life. Maybe you read something and the Spirit of God began to minister to you. You need to grab a hold of that promise. And you need to begin to stir it up in prayer. You need to begin to answer the call of God and do the footwork. It's not about just praying, but you got to get up off your knees and you got to get some vetting in. You got to get in there and follow along with leadership. You got to not only come to church on one day, not only one Sunday, and miss five Sundays. Sundays. You need to come every Sunday and that Sunday and this Sunday. You need to go to this event and that event, and you need to continue to plow away, and little by little you begin to grow, and you begin to be stirred in your spirit, and a wave of passion and compassion for the things of God begin to move upon your spirit. Come on, somebody. You got to get excited here. You got to clap your hands. You got to say, God, can you use anything? You can use me. Hallelujah. I don't even know where I'm at on these notes. I want to share some scriptures. How about that? That I received in the men's home in my early years in ministry. There was a lot of verses that I got, but I'm going to share three of them. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, and I needed to hear that. As a young person in the Lord, I needed to hear that. That was very important for me to understand that I'm no longer the old guy, that something had to die. That old man had to die, that young kid had to die, and the young kid had to grow up and mature. And see, it was very important for me to understand that early on in the walk. Some of us still been in the church for many years. Well, we need to understand that the old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. We shouldn't be speaking that filthy language. We shouldn't be at the bar. See, we should have a different hunger. We shouldn't hunger for the things of the world, but we should have a new appetite. And that appetite should consist of God's word and of his spirit. Amen. And things begin to change. There's a shift in your thinking and in the way you think and the way, amen, the way you walk, even the way you present yourself. See, it's an inner working to the outer. See, and then another one I got, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And that's a beautiful one. It even says Jeremiah. When I read that in there, I said, I'm going to call myself Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. Right? So it became like it was personal or something. I said, hey, that's like my name right there. I was young in the Lord. You know, hey, Jeremiah. Man, that's a good one. You know? See, because God has a plan for you. Come on, somebody. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. See, back in the world, what was it? Trust no man, trust no woman, right? But see, when you begin to look at that verse and he says, you know, well, I need to learn to trust in the Lord because he says he has a plan for me. He doesn't have a dirty old plan for me. He wasn't trying to set me up like some of the people in the world. But God had a perfect plan. God says, I give you a hope and a future. Come on, somebody. I will not harm you. I will give you a hope and a future, declares the Lord. And Galatians 6:9, that's the promised verse that was given to us. We had to memorize in the men's home. That was Pastor Herb Valero's favorite verse, Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right? Let us not become weary in doing good. That's a real good one. Because no matter what's going on in your life, it doesn't matter. Don't grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time you will reap a harvest if what? If you do not give up. So what does that tell you? That says keep moving, brother. Keep moving, sister. Keep running the course. No matter what's going on, you don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. You keep pressing on. You keep fighting. You keep praying. You keep reading. Amen. You just keep pressing in and you keep going forward. And when you do feel a little tired and you feel a little weary, just know that the Bible says don't grow weary or tired. That means you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. That means you got to pound your breast like Paul says, I buffet my body, amen, to bring it into submission under the calling of God. And when you say, I'm getting tired, I feel a little weary, well, that's when you tap into the power and the presence of the Almighty God. When you tap into that river that Ezekiel talks about that's flowing out of the temple and it's going out. Come on, somebody. That river, amen, that's a life-giving source. It's a miracle-working power. When you tap into the presence of God, when you're feeling a little weak and little down, you got to tap in, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter about the COVID thing. It doesn't matter about all the riots and the violence and all the distractions. I'm here to let you know that there was a promise of God and it needs to be fulfilled. And God has called you and me, amen, to answer the call of God upon our lives. He didn't call angels. He didn't call others, but he called you. He called men and women and children and young people, the gang warriors, gang girls, the third wave. Come on, somebody. When we receive a promise from God, our life begins to change. And it begins to be driven and focused on the promise and calling of on our life. The calling of God and the promises of God begin to build a wave of passion for God's purpose. God begins to place a fire in your heart for his purpose and plan. See, when you begin to receive that promise and you say, hey, there's a promise on my life. There's a calling on my life. When you begin to have a progressive revelation, what that means is little by little, as you stay in the Lord, as you progress in the Lord, you begin to understand the process or the plan of God just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And as you stick it out, you begin to see it. It becomes a little more unveiled. I could say it like that. A little more unveiled. And as you begin to see that, it begins to stir something up inside of you. And a fire begins to burn down in your bones, like Jeremiah says. The word of God is like fire in my bones, and I cannot keep it in. And indeed, I will not hold it in. And he begins to build a fire. The promise of God begins to move us forward. It begins to move you forward. Amen. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, keep moving forward. Tell your neighbor, it's time to grow. Tell the other neighbor that's listening, you were created for more. Amen. We are no longer driven or motivated by creation. We are moved and motivated by the Creator Himself. We're no longer motivated by created things. I'm no longer motivated to go to the bar with my brother. I'm no longer motivated by pursuing riches and finances and maybe a great job. That's okay. I mean, if God is, it's in God's will and it's glorifying God, and God wants to use you in that with finances or something like that, or a great job, or going to college or university. Amen and amen. But my total focus is not based on creation or created things or created purpose or a man's will or purpose. But see, our driven purpose, amen, our mission, our drive should be from the Creator Himself. Our purpose comes from the Creator Himself, not by creation. Our motive shouldn't, our drive shouldn't come from created things. Our life begins to move in the direction of God's purpose and for God's mission. I know that some of us were on a mission, but I'm talking about God's mission, right? Some of you will say, I see some homies out there in the streets and say, what are you doing, man? Well, I'm on a mission, homie. But you know what? I'm on God's mission. I'm going to tell a little story. Pastor Charlie, we were there, and I used to help him doing landscaping. And we went from this job site to that job site, and we were in the city of Salinas. And I said, hey, right there, we were partying. Hey, right there, I remember I seen a fight. You know, I seen all these different stories. And Pastor Charlie says, one day, when you stay in the Lord, your story's going to change. And you're going to say, one day, I remember praying for someone over there. I remember somebody got saved over there. I remember getting on a bullhorn and preaching over there. And your whole story is going to change. See what I'm saying? When you stay tapped into the promise of God, when you stay in step with God's will and God's plan, see, the old things begin to pass away and things become new. And you begin to have a new song and a new story. Who wants a new song this afternoon, this evening? Who wants a new song? Who wants to sing a new song? Who wants to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? Come on. Man, I want to be able to tell my sons and daughters about the good news of Jesus Christ. See, my son is an answered promise, an answered prayer. My son, my other son, plays the keyboard. Amen. So all my kids are coming to the Lord. And as you just stay focused, maybe this is a message for you, mother or father, young person, if you're listening. While God has a calling upon your life, and we cannot lose hope, we just got to continue to pray. We got to continue to stay the course and see what God does in your life. He's faithful. People with a promise receive a vision that is able to see beyond the storm. People with a promise, receive a vision that is able to see beyond the storm. I think we could all agree that we're seeing some storms right now. I think I mentioned that a little earlier, but you all know what I'm talking about. There's some little things going on around us, around the world right now, and it could bring some people to some confusion. Some people get a little depressed, and some people, it's hard for them. But see, when you get a promise from God, you're able to see beyond the storm. You're able to see beyond the storm. And that's one thing that God was really ministering to me about this whole message right here, was that was almost like the main point that got this whole message together, was being able to see beyond the storm. See, and God said, if you stick to the promise, if you get a promise and you stick to my word and to the promise that I have given you, then you'll be able to remove all those things out of your sight. And when you begin to focus on my promise, you won't be distracted about this or that. You're not going to be discouraged about this or that. But you're going to be able to stand on solid ground on the word of God. See, Isaiah 40, amen, verse 30 and 31 in the NLT, it says, even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. See, when you're able to see beyond the storm, he says, but those who trust in the Lord will find a new strength. See, when you hold on to God's promise, you begin to find a new strength. I'm not talking about a natural strength. See, our natural ability only takes us so far. But to answer the call of God upon your life, especially in this season that we're living in now, talents and gifts and all the, you know, bells and whistles and the shiny little hairdo and the shiny shoes and all that stuff, it's only going to take you so far. But you're going to need to find some new strength in the Lord. You're going to need a supernatural strength and a supernatural power. See, like I said, only the natural is going to take you so far. But to go all the way with the Lord, to answer the call of God upon your life, you're going to need a supernatural strength and a supernatural power that only comes from God. We need energy from heaven. We need anointing to flow through our lives, amen, to keep pressing forward. Jesus used the storm to test the faith of his disciples. See, your faith will be tested in the storm. Peter stepped out of the boat and answered the call. See, Jesus told the disciples, he says, hey, you guys go on the other side and I'll meet you over there. See, he set them up, throw them in the storm, and he knew what he was doing. He was testing their faith. Your faith will be tested. My faith will be tested. But Jesus sent him in the storm. Amen. And Peter was there. See, there was many that were in the boat. The other disciples were in the boat, but there was one. Say one. There was one that stepped out of the boat because he had faith. He had faith even though the storm and the winds and the waves were blowing and they were roaring. Peter looked at the master and he seen him walking on the water. And he says, Lord, if that is you, call me out then. See, when you hear a word from God, and maybe somebody prophesied over your life, it's okay to say, God, if that is you, call me out then. God, if that is you, you're going to have to be with me, God. God, because I'm getting excited here, but I know that in my own little ability, I'm not going to be able to do it. But God, if you have called me, God, call me out and fill me and send me out, God. See, we're going to need God's power and God's strength, but it's going to take you to step out. God's a merciful God. He's a loving God, and God is a gentleman. And he's not going to force you out of the boat, and he's not going to force you into ministry. He's not going to force you to step out or come on Sunday or all this and that. But he says, if you come, if you step out, you're going to step into the faith zone. You're going to step into this place where you're going to be able to see signs and wonders and miracles. I don't know about you, but I want to see those signs. And I didn't come into the ministry. I didn't answer the call of God to just operate in the natural. But I came to answer the call because I want to experience the fullness of God. I want to experience the power in the miracle zone and the faith zone of God. I want to see God do miracles in my son. I want to see my sons prophesy and preach the gospel. I want to see my daughters rise up and begin to proclaim and sing and worship and glorify the Lord. Come on, somebody. Is anybody excited in the house of God? Is there anybody that believes with faith? Is there anybody out there that has faith to believe? Even in these last days, we must believe and we must fulfill the call of God upon our lives. The storm is going to take you deeper in the walk with God. When you go through the storm and you begin to experience some tribulation, some hard times, it's going to take you to learn how to trust in God. See, the storm, and I could think of a tree right now. When the wind blows, it's like if the roots are holding on because they're getting blown to the right and left, but their roots are deep. And that's why it's important that, especially the men's home or you're out there, it's very important that you get your roots deep in the Word and in prayer so that when the storm comes, you'll be able to hold on. Come on, somebody. You'll be able to endure. You'll be like a faithful servant, a faithful soldier. The storm is going to take you deeper in your walk. And it's going to take you to get a little bit deeper with God. It's going to take you through the storm. Amen. And you're going to be able to say, God, you are almighty. God, you are a faithful God. You'll be able to say some things like that. You'll say, I understand now what Pastor Charlie's talking. I understand what my leaders are talking about when they're talking about all these different things. See, when you get deep and you get in your word and you go through some storms, but you're solid in your foundation and you begin to go through it and you see God's hand move on your behalf, you're going to say, God, you are faithful. God, thank you. God, you are worthy. God, you are almighty. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are Jehovah Rapha, my, yes, come on somebody, my healer. I don't know if I'm getting too loud, but I'm excited. I'm excited for Jesus. Amen. Come on, give God a praise offering. In this season, God's going to strengthen your faith. In this season, God's going to strengthen your faith. The storms and the winds take the eagle higher. Without the wind, the eagle cannot fly or soar high on the winds. Without the winds and the waves pushing the great ship a sail, amen, it will not move and it will not float. But see, these things here, the eagle needs the wind beating against him so it could fly and soar on the above the storm, right? The great ship and the sails allow the wind to push it forward. See, if you have the right focus and you begin to understand the promise of God upon your life, and you begin to understand the storms that are there, you know who he is, then you understand and you allow the storm to push you forward. You allow the storm to push you forward. And you'll be like the eagle, amen, that begins to soar when the storm comes. It's not going to push you down under, but you begin to soar and you begin to find a new strength. And people wonder, why is this guy happy? Why are they stirred up and excited? Well, because I have an inexpressible joy that comes from the Lord. No material thing could make me feel this way. It's God that gives me this inner joy. It gives me a peace that surpasses all understanding because I have faith within the storm. I'm able to see beyond the storm. I'm able to see beyond the circumstance because God has given me a promise and has given me a clear vision in the midst of the storm. That's something that only comes from the Lord. It's a supernatural vision. It's not something that happens in the natural. It's something that happens in the supernatural that you're able to see and have clarity in the midst of the storm. Luke 9:51 says, now then the time was approaching for him to be taken up to heaven. This is speaking about Jesus. He was determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose. Even Jesus, he knew what his purpose was. He was going to go to the cross. He's going to lay it all down for you and for me. To die on that cross for all sins, all the sins of humanity. Amen. But it says that he was determined to fulfill his purpose. And that purpose was to die for all humanity. But we all know that he rose again on the third day. Come on, somebody. See, in one of the versions, the translation says his face was like flint. Means he was focused and nothing was going to deter him. See, nothing could deter us. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. No depth, no height, nor angel, nor demon can separate us from the love of God. See, it's only you that could separate yourself from God. It's up to us. All we have to do is humble ourselves. Stay at the feet of Jesus and be determined in our heart and be solely focused that there's no plan B. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to be like Jonah that ran and had to come all the way back around just to come back to where God wanted me to go and waste all kinds of time. I've done that before. I won't lie. I've done that before in my life. I went to the home 3 times. Third time, I got it right. Amen. But we all know that we're still growing and that God takes from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Come on, somebody. I'm going to give you one more story and then I'm going to close. Amen? Luke 7, chapter 7, verse 6 to 11, talks about a Roman soldier and he's an officer, but he had some faith. It reads like this. It says, he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him. So the Roman soldier didn't even go on his own. He didn't even go over there. He sent some friends, his servants, because he was a man that was in charge of others. So even when Jesus was there, and he says that these friends were sent from the centurion, he says, and they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I did not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Amen. I want to go back to right here in verse 7. It says, but just say the word and your servant will be healed. See, the man took Jesus at his word. See, the promise of God. That's what I'm saying. You get the promise of God. Just like this man, Jesus said, I have not found any that had faith, not even in Israel, like the faith of this man. He said, say the word and your servant will be healed. See, we need to believe Jesus. Who can believe God at his word? We need to believe God's promises. We need to believe the word of God that is coming to you right now. The soldier believed Jesus at his word and ran with it. We need to grab hold of the promise and run with it. When God gives you vision, you need to run towards it. When God begins to give you a vision, he begins to give you a direction in the spirit, you need to not run from it, but you need to run towards it. You can't run from it. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. No matter where you go, the Holy Spirit's going to continue to go out because he loves you so much. He's going to keep going out. He's going to keep calling you. He's going to keep drawing you in. And you can't run from God, so what do? Just run towards God. Come on, somebody. Just do yourself a favor and run towards God. Just like that prodigal son, and what are the God, what Jesus, the Father, representing the Father, the only place in the Bible says that he ran towards the Son. He ran towards the Son and he embraced the Son and he restored him. I'm here to let you know that we serve a God that's able to restore you. If you're backslid in there and you're listening or whatever condition you're in, I'm here to let you know that God is a restoring God. And he's able to take you from where you're at and to begin to bring you back through that process and begin to put you back on that lane where you belong, put you back on that path, put you back in the midst of the calling, because the gift and the call are irrevocable upon your life. Amen. God is faithful to the promise upon your life. That's what I'm trying to get at tonight. You got to understand that the Lord is faithful to his promise. See, that's why we got to be like the centurion that said, just say the word, just say the word, God. Just call me by name. Just call me and I'm going to answer it. See, we need to grab a hold of the promise of God. Habakkuk 2:2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. Why don't we all stand here this evening? Run with the vision. Run with the promise of God. Amen. I'm going to read one more verse. Amen. Isaiah 6:8. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. I'm going to read it again. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody out there that says, here I am, Lord. If you could use anything, Lord, right? That was an old song. You could use me, right? If you could use anything, Lord, you could use me. But who's here? Amen. If you could hear the sound of my voice, if you could hear the sound of the Lord's voice, the voice behind the voice saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And I said, here I am. It's only you could say that. I can't say that for you. You got to say, here I am. Send me. Or here I am, Lord. I'm willing. See, that's all God needs is a willing vessel. Someone that's willing. God might look and say, he's a little rough on the edges there. Man, she got, you know, she's a little rough there. But God says, man, she keeps showing up, though. He keeps showing up. They're faithful. Man, they're broken at the altar. I see them reading their word and they're quoting scriptures. And they're not only quoting scriptures, but I can see a change in their life. See, change is not change until you change. It's not about all talking about God or quoting all the right scriptures or lifting your hands. But it's about this inner change that takes place in your heart. A decision. It's called the decision. And every person on the face of the earth is going to face God one day. You're not going to be there with your mama or your daddy. It's going to be you and God. And we're going to have to answer to him. And hopefully what I want to hear, the greatest words you can hear in your lifetime is enter in my good and faithful servant. Some will hear something else like, away from me, for I've never known you. But I believe that there's some people here and some people that are listening that are making a decision right now to say, here I am, Lord. If you could use anything, you could use me. Right now, just lift your hands right there where you're at. I want to, before we go into worship, I said this prayer over 16 years ago. And I want to extend it to you right now. And if you're listening, I made a decision to serve the Lord over 16 years ago. And my life has never been the same. And if you just repeat this prayer after me, amen. If you want to give your life to the Lord, you want to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, just say, Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I fall short of your glory. I believe that you died on the cross for all my sins. I believe that you rose on the third day and that you sit at the right hand of the Father. I ask right now that you would come into my heart and that you would make me a new person. Let the old pass away and let all things become new. Right there, in Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah, amen. Right there, why don't we just take a moment with God? You said that prayer, I just want to let you know that all heaven's rejoicing over you right now. There's revival taking place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.